Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Car Wash the Podcast. This is the podcast that makes you a better car washer and yes, friends, a slightly better human being. Look, I'm really excited for the conversation we're going to have today because we're going to do both of those things, right? And so we're going to dive in to a couple of areas that I think are really, really important for us right now. Here's one. The labor market's changing, right? It's a different group of people. It's a different generation. This new generation we're trying to employ and retain and attract in our businesses, they're different from what we're used to. On the flip side of that, we're going to try to find ways to make really strong connections with our teams and with our customers. And so here to talk about that is Smiley Pozwalski. Smiley is a speaker at the upcoming Car Wash Show in Las Vegas, May 8th through 10th. That's just about a week, friends. Smiley is a workplace belonging keynote speaker, and he's the author of The Quarter Life Breakthrough, The Breakthrough Speaker, and Friendship in the Age of Loneliness. His expertise is in data-driven insights and practical tools that are going to help you attract and retain top talent, build highly connected hybrid teams, engage that multi-generational workforce, create a culture of belonging, and lead what he calls the Great Reconnection. So we're going to have that conversation, but first, a quick word from our sponsor. Hey, we all know how important growing and retaining membership revenue is today. And with Rinsed, the car wash CRM, you've got a complete toolbox to help make it easier for you to do just that. Rinsed has e-commerce features that help 10x your online sales, and you can convert more leads into paying customers with email and text message marketing campaigns. Pair that with tools to boost customer LTV by 20%, and you've got a pretty stellar solution that integrates directly with all major car wash POS systems. Rinsed, the car wash CRM. Smiley, welcome.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with all of you today.
Let's start out a little bit. You know, I was doing some research on you, and you've got this term that I've noticed called the Great Reconnection. Can you talk a little bit for me about what that is and kind of how you define that?
Yeah, I kind of like to flip this whole talking about the Great Resignation, which, you know, there's a lot of data that supports that, right? A lot of people in the pandemic, especially, kind of were rethinking the role of work in their lives. I think less people were actually quitting than the whole kind of TikTok would have you believe, so to speak. If you actually look at the labor market data, actually unemployment's at its lowest rate ever. So there's actually a competition for getting that talent. But I think that the Great Resignation was getting at something that is important, which just is the competing demands and new world of talent recruitment and retention, and how hard it is to recruit that talent, and that people are demanding and looking for different things. And the thing that I think they're most looking for in the wake of the pandemic and this huge shift we've seen to hybrid and remote work, and kind of with the increased role of technology in our lives, and you can, you know, also parallel that with the rise of automation and AI, ChatGPT, which we're just beginning to see what the good, the bad, and the ugly of that is. Connection is human connection, what people are really lacking. And you're seeing these skyrocketing rates of workplace disengagement, workplace disconnection. 70% of American employees are disconnected from their coworkers. And that's not like in the height of the pandemic. That's like late 2022. That's now. And so I think the opportunity is for the Great Reconnection is to kind of say, hey, one of the things, especially in the car wash industry, but frankly, across the corporate workplace, that we can provide is those deeper human relationships with our teams, with our employees, and also with our customers, with our clients, with the people that we support, and frankly, in our communities. Because at the end of the day, that's what business is. We don't talk about it as much, right? We're focused on the numbers. We're focused on the profit. That's why we're businesses. But at the end of the day, you know, we're people and we're human organizations. And I think as we go deeper and deeper into technology being part of how we work, how we live, the value of those human relationships only increases exponentially. So I think the opportunity is for what I'm calling the great reconnection, to really kind of think a little bit more deeply about how we're onboarding employees, how we're training employees, how we're connecting with employees, how we're allowing them to show up every day and not taking it for granted. Not saying we used to do that, but some of us did, and that's okay. And thinking about it in a more kind of strategic and thoughtful way.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the car wash industry especially is in the last few years in this big moment of kind of transition or transformation, right? And it got into the subscription business. And so now that's a thing. But I think from a labor perspective, you're 1,000% right. We took that for granted, right? We could just turn over employees. It wasn't a big deal. People were just there in a very transactional relationship. Now, that wasn't every car wash organization, right? The really great ones understood the value of team and culture and engagement early on. But now some of us are having to kind of catch up and say, oh, shoot, how do we think about this differently? So I'll ask you, Smiley, how do we think about this differently? What do we need to be thinking about in our businesses?
Yeah. So, you know, not to say that we should only listen to young people, but, you know, if we're thinking about, you know, recruiting, retaining, attracting, retaining, engaging the next generation of talent, we should take a deeper look at kind of generations in the workplace, especially kind of what Gen Z is looking for, right? So Gen Z is a generation, some people call them iGen or the smartphone generation, born after 1997, you're part of Gen Z. People say if you do not remember September 11th is kind of a seminal day in our lives, in our history. And a lot of data has emerged, right? The oldest members of Gen Z are now just joining the workforce. So the oldest members are in their early 20s. So these will be the people that we will be hiring in the coming 5 to 10 years. And what they're really looking for, some things are similar and some things are very different. First of all, this idea of timely, fast, digital, personalized hiring and communication, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, this is a generation that does not know a world without smartphones, right? Like they literally grew up with, you know, and I'm a millennial, I'm an elder millennial. So I was born in the early 80s. So I kind of, we millennials, especially elder millennials, we span the kind of tech generation, right? We grew up with email, we understand it. We played Oregon Trail, like we kind of get it. And we grew up with payphones. Like I didn't have a cell phone until college.
Yeah,
right. Same. So we know that kind of world as well. Not Gen Z. Gen Z has grown up and it's two clicks. In two clicks, I can get Uber Eats. I can book a car wash. I can get a hotel. I can get a date. I can literally get a date with one click, right? Maybe meet the love of my life or just get, you know, have a horrible date. But, you know, that's what they're growing up. And then they get to the workplace and they come across this kind of system of hiring where they submit their resume into a black hole. No one gets back to them for 3 weeks, or they get some automated response and they're like, 3 weeks, I don't even remember what happened 3 minutes ago. Right. And that's a problem. So we have to be much more timely, much more personalized. If we, you know, if we can't do it in person, then we at least have to do the interview on video, because this is the world that folks are growing up in and understanding. So that's a big thing. I think another piece there is flexibility. And I don't just mean flexibility when it comes to kind of the hybrid remote work, obviously, especially for most folks in this industry, in the car wash industry, like this is an in-person business. Like we're going to be on site. We're going to be on location. It's more. And so there will be roles that will be remote or hybrid, but it's more flexibility in terms of how we approach the workplace and career design, giving people more freedom, agency, to navigate their career, to say kind of, it's not just the professional, it's a little bit more of the personal growth. What are people looking for? Why are they coming to this industry? Why are they coming to this job? What do they want to do when they leave? Because yes, they're going to leave. That's just kind of what the data shows. Maybe hopefully not in 2 weeks, that's going to be a waste of time, in 6 months, in a year, but at some point they're going to leave. And kind of how do we help them get there? And how do we make their role a little bit more flexible, more exciting for them. So kind of rethinking how we approach kind of culture and careers. And then this other piece that's come up, which is a big one, is kind of a culture that's built more on mental health and wellness. A lot of the data, when people look at Gen Z, according to LinkedIn, 66% of Gen Zers want a culture that's built and based in mental health. And if you look at kind of, it makes sense given how challenging the world is today, the nature of kind of economic realities and uncertainty, the nature of the pandemic, and just how fast things are shifting in the global ecosystem. People are more anxious, they're more depressed, they're more nervous, they're more scared, they're more overwhelmed, they're more addicted to technology. They get to work and they're feeling that burnout, they're feeling that kind of overwhelm. And I think it's up to us as leaders, as managers, as owners to kind of say, hey, this is going to be a place that we support your growth and that kind of wellness or that well-being, that it's not just work. Yes, you're going to work. Yes, we're going to get things done. Yes, this, you know, we have expectations. That's why this is a job. That's why this is a place of business. And yet we care about you beyond just kind of the checkbox that you're fulfilling your tasks every day. So I think that that's been something that has shifted in kind of the generations. And if you look across, you know, we have five generations currently working together at work, you know, everyone wants, which is unprecedented. But everyone wants meaning and purpose and connection and flexibility. This is not just young people, just Gen Z. Everyone wants these things. But I think the kind of nature of what people are looking for in terms of the immediacy, the demands has changed and accelerated, especially, you know, post pandemic.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, you think about how do you, I mean, on the surface, you think about the car wash industry, how do you communicate the meaning in that work? And not too long ago, going to the work at the car wash for a lot of people was just a job. So trying to transition your organization to think about and to show up every day as if it's a career, it can be a path, it can be something I can be at for a long, long time and I'm going to really love. Or, you know what, like you were saying, Smiley, it's okay if you're only here for a year or 2 years or, you know, maybe, you know, 36 months. At the end of the day, I, as a car wash owner operator, have a responsibility to make sure that I am developing you, that I'm making you a better human being, that I'm making sure that no matter what happens, if you stay with us or not, that you leave better than you started. And so I think that's a shift in thinking.
That's exactly right, Matt. And it's not, it's kind of what you're getting at here is that it's more than the job, right? So there's a quote from Esther Perel. She's a marriage therapist. So I'm quoting a marriage therapist when talking about kind of engaging young talent. She says, managing millennials is nurturing millennials. And I think that's really telling. So it's not just, you know, about the loyalty, about here's how great we are, here's why you're going to want to work for us forever. It's the nurturing. It's kind of the listening. It's back to human. It's back to that kind of just building that personal relationship. And it actually transcends, you know, the person showing up and doing their job. It's more just like, hey, what is it like to not just be a boss, but to be a coach, to be a guide, to be someone that sits there and kind of listens. Now, and this is across industry, you know, I'll speak to people in financial services or insurance, real estate, and they'll kind of say, oh my gosh, Smiley, like you're asking me to be this guy's dad. Yeah. Like I'm not their dad. They have a father like at home or somewhere. Like I'm their boss. I'm not your mother. Like you've got a mom, like, you know, you've got a therapist, like go talk about that stuff somewhere else. And I understand that sentiment, especially for those of us that are, let's say, 35 and older. Like that's not how it was for me, especially, you know, when we started working. I used to work in government. It's very bureaucratic. It's very kind of show up, do your job, hide a little bit of the personal, leave that at the door. So I understand that sentiment. And I'm not saying that you're their dad or their mom, but I am saying that there is this, like, you have to be available for someone to vent or available for them to ask questions that have nothing to do, right, with the actual on-site responsibilities of what they're doing every day and everything to do about them just being a young adult or grown adult, frankly, in the world that we live in. Hey, like what book should I be reading? What podcast should I be listening to? When at your stage in your life, what were you thinking about starting a family or where to live or whatever, or saving money, all of these things that actually isn't just something that somebody handles on their own time now, right? The expectation is that there's going to be some of that conversation at work, right? The lines, the kind of division lines have become a little bit less firm, right? Especially, you know, because people are working from everywhere all of the time. It's not like, oh, go deal with that on your personal time. It's like, well, personal time, professional time, it all kind of blends together. So there's a little bit more of that.
Yeah, even down to like, when does the workday start, right? So it's a little bit different in the car wash space, but a lot of folks will say, well, the moment I open my phone and I'm on my email on the way to work, my workday started. What do you mean? So it's like, hey, we need you here at 8 a.m. And it's like, work starts at 8. And like they show up at 8:15. And it's like, well, I was working, right? It's
right.
Like, oh, that's different.
Right. And if you're managing or, car washes in multiple locations, or if you have a national business, like your day there, the time zones, it's like, it's always on. And that creates a whole other issue around kind of the workday never ending and burnout and all of these things, which is also a big piece of this. But I think this understanding that, we can't create the box around the 9 to 5 or kind of just operating hours. And once someone leaves, that doesn't mean they're become not our responsibility or not someone we care about. We have to care about them all the time. I'm not saying we always, work is everything, always work. That can be quite toxic as well. I am saying that we have to think about them as a person and someone that we care about, that's on our minds, if they're on our team.
Yeah. Yeah. We should be always human, right?
Correct.
100% human all the time. Some of the best organizations in the car wash industry figured that out. And, I get the opportunity to talk to lots of employees of washes who have been at those washes for 15, 20, 30 years. And, you ask like, well, what keeps you coming back? Why do you like 35 years is a long time to be anywhere. And it's, they always say, the leader of this organization took time with me. They talked to me. They talked to me about stuff that had nothing to do with my job. They just wanted to know how I was doing, if I needed anything. And they knew that like sometimes work was going to, or my life was going to come with me to work and I couldn't do anything about it, but they were there for that. And that was okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what you're getting at is psychological safety, which is kind of like basically this idea that people can show up and be themselves. Right. They can have flaws like every human, right? They can make mistakes. And I think kind of simply somebody saying to frankly, just to cultivate that, just to be curious and ask somebody questions goes such a long way, or say, hey, that's okay. Or you're good. Or you made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Here's some of the mistakes I've made, rather than like, get it right. I'm perfect. It's like, that's not going to cultivate psychological safety, but actually sharing with someone, hey, like I've made some big mistakes. Here are them. Here's what I learned from them. This is about learning. This isn't about getting things right. It's about learning. That creates that environment where people can take risks, can try new things, can be themselves, can make mistakes, can just be, again, like you were saying, human. And it sounds really simple, right? It's actually very, very hard in practice. If it were simple, we wouldn't have 70% disengagement, according to Gallup, which has actually gone up to 80% in the recent study. 20% of employees are actively disengaged, which means they're actively undermining their coworkers' work. So they're literally getting paid by their business, their car wash, their company, to screw things up for everyone else that works there. They're like actively undermining their coworkers' work, which is alarming. So it's not that simple to do this in practice. But the basic idea does seem like something we can all achieve.
What do you think makes it so hard?
Well, human beings are complicated.
We all have different things going on at the time.
I think it's human beings are complicated. I think we have competing priorities. And sometimes there's a tension, especially when it comes to productivity, efficiency, hitting our numbers, focusing on sales, to kind of say, hey, we gotta move things along to stay and be patient with someone, to have those conversations, to start the team meeting without kind of getting to the bullet points, but just saying, we're going to go around the horn, we're going to connect. How was your weekend? What's going on? Anything you want to share? Anyone that you're thinking about in your family? Is anyone sick? Anyone want to share something that they're struggling with? Have a question? Takes time. It takes time away from from cleaning, from ordering supplies, from doing all the things that we also need to do. There's just simply too much work to be done and not enough people to do it. But it's a bottom line fact. So that to spend extra time with kind of some of this more quote unquote touchy feely stuff or just human stuff, relationship stuff, people feel like I'll get to it later. The problem is we just don't get to it.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Because I mean, as you were saying that, I was like getting a little bit anxious about you know, thinking about my own team meetings. And when we're sitting there and I'm like, oh, I should probably be better about just asking about the weekend. I mean, it's a simple, small thing you can do that at least shows some level of interest in another human.
That's a great thing to do. The other thing is, what if just ask somebody else, does anyone else want to kick? They're not going to lead the whole meeting, but they could kick it off. Anyone else want to kick off the meeting? Just like a great way, like you're giving somebody else kind of a little bit of power, a little bit of being seen. And that goes a long way. You got anyone else want to kick off the meeting with a prompt or a question? Like, that's an interesting, simple way can be very effective.
But that's control, Smiley.
Yep.
Control.
But if you give up control, Matt, and people see like that you're still confident and stand in your power, in your leadership, and that it's going to be okay. It's not like you're like, okay, go into the books and change all the spreadsheets and change everyone's salaries. And, you know, we're going to switch locations and buy all new equipment. Like, no, yeah. That would be just you being a bad leader. But if you actually relinquish these little bits of control and empower others, people see that. And actually, you will have even more respect and confidence from your team.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit. So we're talking a little bit about, just connecting with people really is what this comes down to. One of your books, I think, is really important too for us to think about. And that's this Friendship in the Age of Loneliness. So it sounds very touchy-feely, but friends, buckle up, because that's what we're here for today. I think this is so important, and everything you see, and probably since probably the mid to late 90s has said, we are getting lonelier and lonelier by the year. And then you run through a global pandemic where everybody kind of got socially broken, and we're coming out the other side of that, and it's like, okay, we need friends. Like, we fundamentally are like tribal people. We need to be in groups. What's going on?
Yeah. So we're in the midst of a loneliness epidemic in the United States. We were prior to the pandemic. So loneliness is spiking. 2/3 of Americans were lonely in 2020 prior, like literally before the pandemic, before like all of the lockdowns and masks and all of it. 80% of Gen Z is lonely. 70% of millennials. So a lot of times we wrongly assume that young people are the most connected because they're constantly on their phone scrolling, right? And on TikTok and sending an emoji and liking a photo. Well, that's not actually what friendship and connection is. So the research shows that it takes 90 hours with someone to become a friend with them. So to go from like someone you meet at a coffee shop to actually being a friend, 90 hours with them in real life, like hanging out. Oh my gosh, hanging out, right?
What?
200 hours. What's that? 200 hours to go from just like a friend, like an acquaintance, like someone that's a friend, to like a best friend, a close friend. So basically, it's just that people are spending more time doing a lot of different things, but let's probably assume mostly online, frankly.
Yeah.
The average young person spends, 12 hours a day on their phone or online, and 3 hours a day on TikTok, and less time with people in real life. So that's a huge, huge problem. And it leads to so many toxic outcomes in society. I mean, loneliness, according to the Surgeon General, is as dangerous to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Jeez. So it literally kills people. I mean, it's like there's correlations between loneliness and increased risks of depression, anxiety, stress, heart disease, all of these things. Because we're human, we're social beings. We have a desire to belong. We have a desire for human connection. We need that as one of our core things as people. So I think there's some things that we can do to cultivate it. I think definitely this idea of increased vulnerability. There's a lot of research that shows, of course, you're not going to immediately, someone's their first day of work, like, tell me everything about you. Like, tell me your biggest fear or your deepest secret. Like, no, you kind of gradually, the research shows you gradually build a vulnerability. You start with like, hey, who's your favorite football team, or where are you from? Like, what'd you do this weekend? And then you slowly get to know someone, build it up a little bit deeper. Like, what's something that you're, nervous about right now? That type of thing. So gradually building that, more praise and affirmation, right? Mm-hmm. Goes a long way to building a culture. Like, friendship doesn't thrive when everyone is being rude to each other or talking about how much everyone sucks. Like, you need a little bit more of that positivity. And I think also kind of the ritual, the repetition, the habits, that creates, you know, there's this psychological principle, the mirror exposure effect. Like the more you see someone, the more you spend time with them, like the more you're going to like them. It's pretty obvious, but it's true. If you think about like when you make the most friends, it was like when you were in school, right? You see the same kids every day in class. When you were in college, if you were on a college campus, or, you know, if you've ever worked on a project with someone or colleagues, like you see them, you know? So kind of having these rituals, whether it's at a team meeting or bringing people together for like a connection day or a team building day or feedback kind of things, coaching, one-on-ones, anything where people are kind of having that rep, they know, oh, like next week or Friday or like first Monday of the month, we always do this. That's going to create that culture where kind of friendship can thrive.
Okay. So there's a lot to unpack here. One of the things that I think is super important for everybody as they go to work every single day, is that they show up as kind of the best version of themselves. Right. And so, if you're lonely, we just talked about this. If you're lonely, you're not going to be the best version of yourself, which means you can't show up and create a great culture for your team, which means they can't be the best versions of themselves, and so on and so on and so on. Right. This down goes the snowball down the side of the avalanche hill here. I want to know, so like, when you get to where we are in our lives, Smiley, how do you make friends? Like, if I need to make a friend, like, I'm not just going to be like, will you be my friend?
Yeah. No, it's great. So like what, you know, the biggest thing I just want to say, I'll kind of pull back from that is like, you're not alone in struggling with that. I mean, that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm struggling with this, right? My nickname is Smiley. Like I'm a pretty social dude. I'm a speaker. So I go to a ton of events and conferences. Like literally I get paid. my job is to meet people for a living. Like that's what I do. Yeah. And I'm struggling with friendship. Okay. So like this is a huge problem. So first of all, you're just not alone. It's really challenging in the current world we live in. I think one thing I kind of recommend in the book is this idea of just like starting small. Like literally reaching out to someone you haven't spoken to in a long time. Cause like maybe there's a friendship there that's kind of simmered, or you haven't, you know, if you've had kids and people have moved far away or used to live close to each other, just reaching back out goes a long way. Finding something that you can do that is ongoing, right? Mm-hmm. So it can be like a basketball club, running group, a pickleball, a cooking class, a wine group, if you like wine, a men's group, whatever, something that kind of is just ongoing wherever you live, that's not a one-off. So like going to a bar and meeting someone is fun, but it's like, that's going to kind of fizzle. But if it's like, you know, everyone, hey, we meet up at this bar, this restaurant, on a regular basis for whatever reason, maybe it's fantasy football, maybe it's whatever, that actually is going to create a little bit more of an environment of connection because it's on the calendar, it's repeating. So anything that's repeating is really good. And then I like write about in this book, like this idea of like always go on a second date. So, you know, not necessarily, I'm not talking about romantically, but if you're single, it's a good principle too, but always go on a second date, meaning like if you meet someone and they're not like a psycho that you like never want to talk to again. Like if you don't like them, just run away. Like that's cool. You can meet people that suck or that you're not interested in. That's awesome. Just say, thanks. Nice to meet you. Bye. But if someone is somewhat interesting that you like, you meet them like through a friend, through family, you know, at a dinner, at whatever, at the airport, it doesn't matter. Just like make a plan to hang out again.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh my God, we had this amazing connection. Let's be best friends. Just like someone seems interesting. Just like get their number. Oh my gosh, you're going to get someone's number in 2023. That's hard. If that's too hard for you, get their LinkedIn. Like, okay, get their email. I think number's better. And just like make a plan to hang out again. It's just simply, it's the first step. But like that principle of like, I met someone interesting. We're going to hang out again. If you just basically cultivate that, that's kind of what really at the end of the day, friendship really is just spending, hanging out with somebody over and over again. You kind of have to do that. So that idea of kind of always going on a second date, I think is important. Also, I think like putting it on the calendar, it sounds again, silly, but like we're busy people. We got work, we got family commitments, you know, men say involved in our church or community, whatever it is, like we have to kind of block out time to kind of say like, hey, like eyes, you know, Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon or whatever, you know, or Tuesday evenings, like friend time. And that's important. It's important for people that are married and have children to do that, to spend time with their own friends. It's important for people that are single to do that. It's important for adults of all ages to do that. And I think, again, that's one of the reasons for adults why it's so hard. Like when you're younger, like you, all the time is friend time. Yeah. Like you don't have anything else to do. And then as you get older, you have everything else to do and no friend time. So you actually have to like kind of mark it out.
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of like the same principle as, you know, if you want to try to find think time, you want to find ways to think about your business or what you're going to do next, you got to block it out. You got to put time on the calendar. Otherwise, you're not ever going to do it. There's never going to be a better time or things aren't going to free up for you to be able to say, okay, now I'm going to get 3 more hours a day of friend time.
Totally. It's a great point, Matt. Like there's a stat that I saw, I think it was from Deloitte, that the average CEO has only 25 minutes of personal think time, free time in their day.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's like, crazy.
Like in, you know, in 2023, 25 minutes a day. Like if you think you can go deep on strategy or kind of thinking about the operations of your business in 25 minutes, like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
So that has to be marked, you know, blocked off in the calendar too.
That sounds terrible. I'm not gonna lie. Like 25 minutes a day of like time to reflect or do anything meaningful.
I know, right?
Well,
get
I guess
your actual job done.
Yeah, right. The what you're supposed to be doing. I would say, I think there's hope though, because I was at my oldest daughter's piano recital recently, and you know, we came out from there and she was standing there talking to somebody. My daughter, my oldest is 14, and I like assumed, oh, she must know this person. They must have met somewhere. And come to find out after the fact, they didn't know each other at all. They were just sparking up a friendship, right? Like they just, the one girl saw my daughter and came over, started talking. She was homeschooled and she's like, hey, I'm looking for friends. You want to hang out sometime? And that was it. It was the first step. So they've got it figured out. It's our problem. We don't really know what to do.
Kids are so good at it. That's like, yeah. If you think about like when you're at recess, it's just like, hey, you're going to go down the slide. I'm going to go down the slide. Yeah. It's like,
we're friends.
We're friends. We're best friends. Like you like throwing the ball. I like throwing the ball. Like, yeah. And then older and it's like, well, like, I don't know. Like these are their politics. Are they like this sports team? Or like, I don't know. Like whatever. I heard a rumor. It's like you all these other things. And at the end of the day, it's like, you just have to, again, say, hey, do you want to be friends? Like let's hang out again.
I love that. Well, Smiley, I'm going to let you get back to it, but I do have one last question for you. Cause I ask everybody this question. What is maybe one thing that I can do today to be better tomorrow? And this can be in any kind of vein you want to take it. One thing today to be better tomorrow.
Sure. Great question. I think for the purpose of this conversation, I'll share this. I think just let the people in your life know that you care about them.
Yeah.
Just that there's research that shows like when we say something nice to somebody else or kind of say a kind thing or send them a note, like we're like, oh yeah, I sent them a note. The other person feels so much joy and gratitude. It has like an oversized impact on them that we just underestimate as human beings. So just letting people in your life know, partners, family, cousins, friends, coworkers, colleagues, just people in your life that you see on a regular basis that you care about, let them know. Like, don't just think it in your head. Like, let them know. That goes a really long way.
I love that. That is sage advice, Smiley. Sage advice. And something that we all need to be better at, that's for sure. Well, hey, I appreciate you spending some time with me today. I think that, like I said at the top of this conversation, I think this is really, really relevant for our listeners and the folks in the car wash industry. And so thank you again for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt. Great to be here.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business, Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.